Welcome to the Imperial Conflict Radio podcast. It is a totally different kind of game. The game itself is just...
Oops, sorry, I wasn't listening to that at all.
You're sitting duck.
Well, that's good. Just a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, let's see how chat blows up now with that comment. Good job.
The game itself is just...
Drinks.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the IC Radio Podcast. I'm joined again this week by Tommy. Tommy, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm DG, doing good. Tommy here, a.k.a. Dusty Aladdin. It's a good night. I'm up a little late, but hey, it's Friday night. Glad to be here for another radio.
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple weeks since we had our last radio. The last one, we pretty much just talked about the PVC for Milky Way, what was going on there. So a lot of things have happened the past couple weeks. So let's get started. Our first topic tonight is, nothing really happened the last time we talked. We've had four pretty big wars in the past week and a half. What's your thoughts on all these wars that have been happening?
Yeah, it definitely looks like a lot of action has popped up very recently. The last time we visited this, it was definitely things were starting out. But, I mean, there's been some big moves up and down the rankings by different families. Some we expected and called that last time, but some were pretty unexpected. So we'll get to that later.
Yeah, it's a big change. I mean, the first big war is a 69 tried to take us on, and the family 67, the internet browsers, and it's kind of my first real big war of anything like that in IC, and especially as an attacker. And it was a different feeling. That kind of took us by surprise. What was your thought on that war and how it went and how it ended and everything?
Well, it definitely wasn't a super traditional fight, because, I mean, it was still pretty early in the round. Nothing was too set. People had plans. Some worked, some didn't. Some successful raids, some less successful raids. But it was really just going after infrastructure and bankers. And both bands dropped quite a lot of buildings until we decided to both call it quits. But it was a fun time. And yeah, I mean, everyone enjoyed it. But definitely no large gains on either side. And definitely not attacker versus attacker with super large fleets trying to square out more space for each family. It was really just going at whatever was open.
Yeah, there wasn't too many shares to start the war, so it was a bit different war than a lot of people are used to. There wasn't much crossover, so that was definitely made a difference. We also had FAMs 68 and 70 going at each other. That's Heroes in the Half Shell, and this family's going to pop you. And even though it looks like 70 is pretty down, they're down in planets, but they're still pretty high up there in net worth. I think that's probably all attacker fleet, though.
Yeah, they're fighting two families at once right now. So yeah, they're going to have a bit of trouble. But yeah, the spicing things up in the forums, just straight up calling out another family on the other side of the map, saying we're going to fight you guys. It doesn't seem like it turned out super great for them. Pickles forum post. I liked a lot calling them out for saying they could take them on. But yeah, we'll see if 70 can hold on to the planets they have left. They still have fleet to go and crash. So we'll see if Swagga can hold on to what he's got and defend his family. Yeah, they're certainly saying that they're gonna stick with it. So we'll see if they do.
Yeah, and right before that, you know, like you said, 68 also had a war with 71. So they've been pretty busy this round so far, it looks like, and they're making a push. They dropped off a decent amount, but towards the end of the round, they're making a pretty good push here. So let's move on to our next topic at this point. And kind of step away from Milky Way, you want to talk about kind of the something that's plagued IC, at least since I've been around. I know you've been around a lot longer, and from what I understand, it's been since the beginning, is the multi/inactive problem, and what's the best way to deal with this, both at the beginning of the round and as the round goes on?
So it's one of those perennial problems that never really goes away. So there's been lots of ideas thrown around recently. One I really like is the removing inactives right before the start. Although, I mean, a dedicated person with multi-accounts is going to get around that. There's the funny stories of way back of I think PP was a notorious multi-account player. He got caught one time because he started getting raided, and then he logged into something like 5 accounts all within like a minute and started aiding back to the other one. So it's times like that where people can get caught. What were some of the other ideas that you remember, MTG, for that?
So there's been ideas of being able to have like a start of round check-in, to where if you don't essentially check a box within so many hours of start of round, you're deleted. There's been ways saying that market can't be used for longer than the 48 hours. People have actually talked about going back to there was a galaxy at one point called Virgo. We had to go through that to kind of verify your account. So it's just different ways to kind of make it more difficult. But I've always been the thought process, if someone is going to cheat or steal in whatever it is in life, they're going to find a way to do it. So are these options really the solution, or are they just another roadblock until someone figures a way around them?
Yeah, well, I actually am in huge favor of getting rid of the market or extending the delay at the beginning where it's closed for a very long time, because there's actually very little way to cheat at all without the market as a tool for transferring stuff between accounts. So without that, the potential gain for cheating goes way, way down. If you can still keep the market and open it later, and that'll significantly decrease the effect of making accounts. But yeah, I mean, there are ideas, and especially with the whole unofficial alliances coming back next round, that'll definitely change how the whole approach to the situation is taken, because then suddenly like illegally aiding resources through the market becomes something that is perfectly acceptable for everyone to do, and that's not a red flag when you see that happen. And then how do you sort out what's someone's like second, third, fourth account doing that versus different individuals doing that? And so that becomes very murky and incredibly difficult to police and figure out. And so that's why I'm very skeptical of the idea of the market being part of the game going forward.
So here's my question with the market. And I know that, you know, years ago, or maybe even longer than years ago, there used to be a ridiculously large, a different amount of players than there is now. So with such a small player base, is the market really viable with, say, only, what do we have, maybe 120 players this round? Are you really getting much value? Like, I know, yeah, you can get some things on there, but is it really doing anything? Is it something that we could take away completely until the player base grows, and then you bring that back in as a feature? Or maybe it's a round-by-round feature, to where maybe this round of Milky Way we do have a market, and next round we don't.
Yeah, and I'm sure tinkering with having it, not having it, will find the solution. For me, at least, when I started playing, the market was one of my favorite parts of the game. It was very, very different back then, when there were 10 times the number of players, because, yeah, the turnover, like, orders would fill super quickly, and you could actually turn over a lot very, very quickly. But, yeah, to let you know, it used to cap at 50 instead of 100, and then you used to be able to bid and sell in decimal points. You didn't have to use whole numbers. So yeah, you could very quickly be just underbidding or overbidding the people that you're trying to get your orders in ahead of. And I mean, yeah, even within a tick or two, I mean, you could turn over, it's called playing the market. It was basically like, yeah, you use the extra family resources that are just sitting there, and you put them in, and you pay about the 2% fee every time. And And yeah, it was actually possible to turn it over very quickly, whereas now it can take hours for a single order to fill, even when you're the first one in that line the whole time. And so yeah, it's not quite as fun. You can't actually really make a better investment in putting it in the market instead of actually building buildings on your family. But the market will always have a special place in my heart with this game, and I would like to keep it or find a way to keep it around.
Well, and the other reason that people are multiing is not, I mean, yes, the extra 8 at the start of the round is a big deal, but also being able to land with the people you want to play with is also a big deal, and being able to play with those folks is why people continually make these accounts. So, like, I had an idea once when I was on the moderator team that kind of do like a kickball sign-up type thing where you start the sign-ups around a day earlier. Everyone that wants into the round signs up. You split them evenly between families, and then you don't add more people in. And let's say you have 10 families. You don't add more people in until you have 10 verified accounts sign up, and you add all 10 in at the same time. So there's no bonus from getting new people. Everyone gets the same thing. It's all about, because to me, if you're playing around and that family has 7 people, this one has 6, and that one has 5, well, the one that has 7 has an automatic advantage. So the more that you can even the playing field and make it more about skill makes it a much more enjoyable game than just saying, well, we got this shit luck this round and we only got 5 people. Let's just wait 6 weeks and we'll do it again.
Well, yeah, I mean, tell that to Sol Invictus and Donald's family right now. They've only got 5 players. They're down a lot and they're right up in there with the rest of them. But yeah, actually that idea, the playground style, rounds with drafts, that actually happens every once in a while, but it basically just turns into a long, drawn-out nightmare for Vince and the moderators to set everyone up, and it takes days and days to get it all set up. So it is a lot of work on the staff to make that happen, but I've heard that those are very fun rounds, although the setup for them sometimes has thrown things off. As Dark would say, if he could hear, but it looks like he can't actually listen to any of this right now.
Well, I know that's part of Pi's goal is to automate everything, and I think that maybe if that was automated into the system, it might make life easier. And I am going to make a quick change to our agenda. I want to add in, you brought up the illegal alliances being allowed next round, and I completely forgot about that. So I want to take a couple minutes to talk about that. I know you're not really a fan of it, so I want to get your opinion on it and what you think it's going to do for the game and how it's going to affect next round.
Yeah, so it was a little over a year ago. I forget what, I think it was something Pi had wanted to do for a while, was removing that. But I think the biggest issue last time was that it seemed the subtext very much seemed to be pushing the idea of it was alliances are encouraged instead of just allowed. And so, I mean, it really turned into a mess last time, but the biggest difference was that, what was it? So the morale formula was different then. So you were much more limited in the numbers of attacks you could make. And it was based on your family. It was based on your family's overall net worth and size also. So you couldn't have like smaller attackers who were able to sort of circumvent those limitations and drop down smaller to handle the pesky little families that were coming at you. So basically it turned into a free-for-all with lots of small families with unended funding from other larger families, and then fighting the enemies of those larger families. And it became impossible to deal with from a morale perspective. I mean, the game didn't allow you to actually defend and retake everything. And there were a lot of tempers going back then. The main differences for this time around are going to be the morale formula is different. You are allowed to make more attacks. There's much more options for being able to defend yourself and attack. So that'll be very good. And we'll see if the player base sort of polices themselves a little bit and tries to limit it from just consolidating down more until it becomes just two sides, two alliances, which hopefully are balanced instead of just a giant conglomeration of families that are going to that are just gonna rule the galaxy.
So apparently Dark can finally hear us and he is overjoyed, so that's awesome. But my issue with it is my main issue with it is, as a new player, I've been around for enough rounds now that I've made some friends in the game, and so I feel like I would be able to do okay. But if I was a brand new player coming in, I would be screwed, for lack of a better word. I would not be able to make any alliances, and if my family didn't like me, or that family didn't like me, or whatever reason, or if I made someone mad, then I would be out of luck, basically, and I would have to scramble to try to do something, if I could do anything at all. And my goal, what I've always talked to Pi about, is that we have to grow the player base, and I feel like this is not going to be able to grow the player base, because if I'm a new player, I come in, I get ganged up by 18 other families because they're all in an illegal alliance together, I'm not going to play again, because that's not fun. I do think, from what I've seen, there is enough animosity between different players that you won't necessarily maybe have two concise groups. I'd say you'd probably get somewhere in the 3 to 4 range, but it's how big are those groups? How good are those groups? I think you're kind of see it with the families this round and how they're doing. We talked about meta attackers before, and we've kind of got these families that have these set groups, and maybe that's how it falls out next round. But if you're someone new coming in, what are you going to do? How are you going to get into one of those groups? I got lucky, I believe, and was able to get in with some people in my first few rounds and was able to grow from there. But maybe not everyone has that luck. And what are they going to do? And how are we going to keep those players? How are we going to convince them that it gets better and that there is a future for them in IC and continue to grow the game?
That is a really good point. There were some forum posts about that too. Especially the idea of pushing the whole rogue members within families and split families of people going in different directions within a family itself. And then that turns into, well, if a majority of a family is together and on one side, and then if someone randoms in, and as a new player, why should that person actually allow or why should that family allow them to stay around rather than killing them off and kicking them out, which is terrible for a new player, because then they actually just don't get to play the game at all. But there was one post I was looking for a second ago that I can't find, that was by far the best description or the best argument in favor of this, and I can't find it now, but basically, yeah, back when there were more and more and more people, it was much easier to slip in and be spies and all that. But yeah, that's more difficult to do now that there's fewer players, harder to hide. There's not a ton of room to just go fly under the radar. Like everyone is going to stand out after some time. But I'm not completely down on it. We'll see how it works out. It could be fine. It could make everything better. But
when the round first started and we were trying to figure out who was where, you know, we were all talking to people that we knew, and it was like, well, we talked to this person in this family and they said they're going after this person, so that means it could be either these two people or these two people. So like everyone knows who's going after who and who plays with who. Like, you know that Hydro and White Shadow and Hellraiser always play together. You know that Frosty and Munder always play together. You know that. So you know these groups. And so you know that if you find one, you've more than likely found the other one. And you know if you found one and you didn't find the other one, then that person is in there hiding. And so now you have to worry about, okay, is that person in my family? Are they going to get marketed from this other family and kill me from the inside? Like, is that, that's something that you're going to have to worry about. And I understand that adds a level of diplomacy to the game, but diplomacy only matters if you can actually be involved in the discussion. If that person joined your family with the intent to kill you from the inside and there's literally nothing you can do about it, then that's all there is to it. That's the problem I have with it.
Yeah, I mean, some of that does sound pretty fun, going on detective hunts, especially with Cells and Munder and Frosty trying to hide every single round. But yeah, and yeah, as people are saying in the chat right now, the forums actually do out you to your family. That's how some of my family found out that Cells is in with us, which was a pretty funny surprise, because I think I was the only person that he told earlier. And then one morning, the big one and Xenon find out on their own. They're like, wait, what is this? Cells is in here. That was a pretty funny morning.
Yeah, I'm still salty about that one because nobody told me, and I was still looking for him and trying to figure out where he was.
See, but didn't you have a better time because of it?
No, I liked Cells. I played with him my first round. He taught me a lot of stuff, and I got along with him great. So that's why I wanted to know where he was, and he just kept on hiding.
Yeah, no, and then the most fun part is when the mass confusion happens, because there was, I forget the story, but Travis can elaborate. But basically, it was someone thought that Cells, the big one, and Ricking were all like multi-accounts or the same person, and people kept calling them each other. And for some reason, it took the longest time for people to figure out who was who, even though, I mean, it was pretty clear, but like somehow there was just all this confusion of like Ricking was just like three multis of the same person. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens, and maybe Pi's great experiment will turn out great. But I want to move on to our next topic. So I want to talk about, you know, infiltration blocking. It's something that's come up in the forums recently, and some things that have been going on. And, you know, it seems like it's a way to, when you're in a war or you're getting ready for war, even when you're just jumping people and you don't want people to know exactly what you're doing, it's a way to prevent the op from happening. But should that really happen? Is that what should be happening? Is that actually skill, or is that just something that someone found to say, oh, look, now we can make sure that no one knows what we're doing? And so do you think that info blocking should be allowed, or should the op be allowed to operate that it should, and that that we should not be able to do that?
Yeah, I think the current status of the infiltrate op is just pretty poor design, and I really hope it gets fixed, because I mean, as you said, so currently it is always, always, always better to 800 times and flush out the news so that nothing shows up. There's no decision there. Like, blocking information from showing up to other people is always beneficial to your family. And so there's no reason not to do it. So I think when this change happened a year ago or whatever, it was, yeah, I think to balance it, they made it the op last for 9 hours rather than 8 hours, which is, sure, it's a nice quality of life change. But I mean, it's one of those things to where you need to, it just promotes being on more frequently, doing more actions. If you're the one who has the infiltrate, you need to be on at the start of every hour to refresh it before they can flush out 100 aids to see what's in there. And then if you're on the other side and you want to hide something, you need to be on there at the start of every hour that you want to hide something and push it out. So for me, it's in the exact same vein as back when all the fancy map tools weren't there to color code families and search cores. You used to need to actually click on every single system and scan through and make sure that there weren't any intruders in there. So it's one of those things that it just requires you to spend more time in the game, and there's no strategy. It's always better, or there's no reason to never do it. And then, yeah, there was one other example I had besides the map thing. Oh, yeah, for sending explorers, it used to not tell you that a family member had sent an exploration ship to a planet. And so you had to make big long lists and cross-reference your family forums every time you wanted to send a single exploration ship so that you didn't double send to any planets. And that was another thing to where it was, it just took an unnecessary time to coordinate. I don't like the idea that you can just prevent the op the infiltrate op from working. But yeah, I don't know if you want to add anything. I have a lot of opinions on this one, as you can see.
Well, and I kind of want to tie it into my next topic as well, kind of combine these two, because I am a fan of more information is better. So I honestly want the income rankings brought back. I think we've been out of them for 2 or 3 rounds now. I want as much information about what's going on out there, be it in infiltrations, be it in income rankings, be it in the map, because I feel like that provides for better wars than just kind of, hey, can we win? And I kind of feel like that's what 69's war with us was, is, hey, we think we can win, but we don't really know because all this other stuff is going on. I feel like the more information you put out there, once again, leveling the playing field, that puts it more on skill. So I think if you have things like that, that, you know, info blocking is not allowed, you have the income rankings back, you have all this stuff in map, I honestly see no issue with that. I think that they should be considered galaxy settings, though. Maybe not the info blocking, but some of the map tools and the income rankings. And maybe they're not there all the time. But I think they do add a different level to play that changes the complexity of what's going on and what you can do in the game. And I think the more that you can do that and the more that you can change it, the better it is. So I play a lot of online games, and they have different seasons, and, you know, they nerf builds, or they buff this thing and nerf that thing. And that's kind of the way that I look at this. The more that you can change things to where it's not going into the round and it's the same thing, kind of like how we have different starting resources, I believe it's the same way. So I think the more things that you can make that you can change each round will make it much better as far as the game goes.
Yeah, so I also have decently strong opinions about the income rankings not being shown. So this is my first round playing without, in a while, without having those shown. And I definitely like this better, because I did feel like those showed way too much information. Because all of this is still information that you can get, but now you actually need to vision an entire family, or spy on target an entire family right before and right after the tick change. And so you can still get all the information. Because before, what, the list would show you, what, 10 players and 5 families, I think. And so if there's only 7 or 8 families in the whole galaxy, I mean, showing the top five basically shows you the economy status of the entire galaxy. And I think Airwing or other people were saying in the forums that it's like, yeah, that takes out a lot of the strategy and planning out of the economy part of the game, because, I mean, you can tell that someone is, yeah, stocking up a ton of Octarin to do a big wizard jump. So then everyone else can see that coming from literally days away, and then build up their own production ahead of time. And so if you're concerned about someone, yeah, coming up with just massive numbers of wizards, I mean, you can still check and like just do visions, just see, oh, do they have like 8 million Oct right now and are about to jump a bunch of wizards? And so what I would be in favor of is bringing back the income rankings, but not showing nearly as much, like maybe just showing the top one, like individual empire in each category. I'd be in favor of that. Maybe each family, maybe one family for each, because I mean, I did, it was very fun to look at the rankings, see yourself and your families like move up and down among those. So it was fun, but it did take a lot of strategy out of the game.
See, I can see where it takes strategy out, but I also think it adds some in there, because you could, like you said, you can see someone is all of a sudden producing a crap ton of Oct. You're like, okay, we can't do this cash jump anymore. We now have to go jump Oct to make sure that they're not going to try to war us. So I feel like it adds a different layer to what you're doing. And Dark is saying it's free info, and I agree with that. But free info isn't necessarily bad. And I'm not saying it should be all the time, and maybe it should only be the top one or two. But at the very least, it should be something that I feel like, because I would want to know, like when I was a banker, I was number one a couple of times on there, and it was great going, oh, I've got the top income in the galaxy. Same thing in the round that I played as a Resi. I was like, wow, I make the most of everything in the galaxy. That's awesome. So if maybe it's not during the round, maybe if that came at the end of the round, that would be awesome to know, hey, I was the best banker. Like, that's how you show in my mind that you made the most. Like, you did the best. Same thing on a Resi. So, like, maybe that's something that you can then loop back into the end of round or end of round awards or something like that to say who actually did the best, who was up there, because I think that matters. I think that matters to some people as well.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was very fun, but it did take away some of the strategy. You no longer needed to know certain ratios. And speaking of which, if people in the chat want to talk about their favorite iron to endurium ratios, that's always an interesting one. Whether people go like more four to one, more of 6 to 1, or if they're just terrible players and go like 11 to 1 or something.
Or if they're me and they don't even know what you're talking about and they just build whatever everyone else tells them to.
Yes, that's always a fun one.
So we're gonna move on to our next topic, and it's sad news for me personally, and I know TVO, he cried a little bit at home. He told me about it. He had to hug a sheep and go to sleep a little bit, but the for those of you that don't know, the moderator team has been dissolved. We are no more. We no longer have any powers. We are the same as you. We are like Superman returned to Earth. It is something that Pi apparently has wanted to do for a while now. Everything that he feels like we should have done is now automated, and we are no longer able to do it. So what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're just mere mortals like me again. It's good to see you back down on planet Earth with the rest of us. So, I mean, I'm extremely happy to see Vince back in Discord occasionally. I've gotten to talk to him once or twice about it. So I'm extremely happy that Pi is back and much more hands-on involved now. I mean, moderators have come and gone. It was always nice to have like Undeath, KT, Vegnarok, all of them around more. So I hope that the moderator team going away doesn't mean that those people who were around because they were moderators but didn't actually play the game, I hope those people still stay around, even though, I mean, people were saying that Vegnarok is playing Milky Way right now. Nobody's told me who he is, so we'll see if he's still playing. I don't actually know.
Yeah, I know in one of the investigations that we had to do this round when there's still a moderator team, none of us could do it because all of the moderators are playing in Milky Way, so I don't know where Veg is. But yeah, it was, from my take on it, it was very sudden for what happened. You know, there was no lead up to it. There was no, hey, you know, next week we're going to do this or next. It was just, hey guys, this is done. Close down the mod chat. Bye. See you later. Here's a post explaining what happened. So that was kind of my, and I'm new, so I don't feel like I have too much invested in it, but I did put a lot of effort into it, and we had been doing a lot of what I felt like were good things. And we do have a new group of people that are just basically idea people, for lack of a better word. But it was still kind of just all of a sudden one day I logged in and I wasn't a mod anymore, and it was like, what happened? So it was kind of a big change.
Yeah, well, we'll see if it comes back, but I haven't seen any noticeable difference other than Pi is back. We'll see. I'm sure things can change, but I am happy to see that it seems to be a lot about empowering everyone and encouraging everyone to get active and suggesting ideas and making the game what they want it to be.
Yeah, so everyone else, you can now flag all of Dark's posts and tell him you don't want to hear from him, and that is perfectly fine. We are okay with it.
Yes, everyone should go do that. Go flag one of Dark's posts right now. Everyone go get some flags.
So our next topic I want to go over is game updates. And the biggest one that's come out is the race change. And what this is it allows you, within 48 hours of creating your empire, you can change your own race. So if you join a family in the middle of a round and you join as a Partaxian for whatever reason. It's because what you want to do, and they say, oh, we need you to be an attacker. You don't have to go to a mod team anymore because they don't exist. You don't have to ask Pi. You don't have to do anything. You can change it yourself within 48 hours. Now, this seems like it's a good adjustment, a good update, but is this something that can be abused? Is this something that people are going to take advantage of, specifically at the beginning of round, as we talked about with the multi-type problem?
Yeah, so this round, I mean, the basic thing to do would be if it's free race changes for the first 48 hours, you start as Quantum, you fund a bunch into research, into construction research, you switch to Kamar, you send your exploration ships to get them to land faster, and then right at the end, you switch back to Quantum for the extra research percentage, and then you switch to your banker race to get the extra. Oh yeah, and Tiff says you have to get a space amazement race at the start also. So basically the idea is to play optimally, you switch between like 7 different races, and it's always beneficial to do that. So it sort of removes player choice because you're not choosing between benefits and drawbacks. Recently Dark or someone suggested an idea that I really like, which is to give you one race change, but that can be used any time in the round. So that's a sort of tricky one. Are you familiar with that idea yet, MTG?
I have not read his idea, but I've brought that idea up before, something similar to it, because my thought was, if you're in a family and, like I know last round, I think there was a family that both their attackers went inactive, and so it was like 3 bankers and 2 resis, but they were like 3 Revelons and 2 Partaxians. So they had no attackers, but there was no way for them to change their race mid round. So they were kind of screwed. So the thought was, you know, if something like that happens, you have the ability, and maybe it's not one race per person, but maybe it's one race per family or 2 races per family or something like that, to where it's not can as easily be abused. But once again, what is the line there, and what's something that is easy to break and not break?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I definitely think erring on the side of caution and giving 1 or 2 per family, I think, is a great idea. But I mean, it is definitely better on Pi and the staff now, because I mean, before they had to manually go in and do it. You had to get a hold of a mod in IRC or Discord. And then they had to go and change your race. But Dark is saying one race change per person per round. That just sounds like a lot to me. I mean, that would change the game. That would change the game so much if a family of 7 was to have 7 race changes throughout the game. It would definitely add a lot of interesting economy strategy because you could have some insane stuff. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a 40 or 50% pop growth race come back with that. I think I did see a 50% pop growth race a year or two ago, but I mean, it was obviously terrible because why would you want that? But if you could change your race, then it would be very interesting.
I played one last round because I think that the fact that you cannot play a good pop growth race is ridiculous. I think the fact that either you have to play a Partaxian to pop or play a Rev and be at a disadvantage is ridiculous. So I did it anyway. My fam sucked, so it had nothing to do with it. But I mean, I wanted to do it because it was just like, why am I going to play pop but be so slow? But that's a completely different discussion. But yeah, I mean, you could go in. Go ahead. But
there are very good reasons to not take high pop growth.
That's for another radio. But okay. So my thought with it is, you know, you could go into a war and be like, oh yeah, look, we've only got one attacker in our family, and then 5 other people switch over to attackers, and that completely changed up the whole aspect of the war and what's going on. Yes, there's income and things like that they're going to affect it, but like you said, you can, it would change the game. And is that the right change to make? And like I said, what is the balancing mechanic of it? Is it 7 per family? Is that the right way to go? Is it, you know, you get 1 per round no matter what? Is it, you know, maybe it's two or three for family. So if there is something that comes up that you can do it, but then if you join middle of the round and you need to change your race, well, as long as your family hasn't used them, you still have the ability to do it.
Yeah, it would be very interesting. I'm definitely not against this idea at all. It would definitely bring a lot to the game. It would change things up. It would be fun. It would be interesting.
So I wanted to take a quick moment to talk about Infinitum, which is Pi's test galaxy. Do you know anything about this galaxy?
No, I vaguely remember hearing the name, but there's been a couple iterations of the endless galaxy for Pi to test out code changes and such.
So this one, I think, is more of a server stress test. The map is 300 by 300, which I think may be the biggest map ever done in IC.
Didn't some of the old ones go 400 by 400? With the four quadrant ones, Dark seems to be extremely familiar. It's definitely not the biggest ever, but I mean, it's nine quad. Okay, that's bigger than I remember. It must have been bigger before I started playing. But yeah, I mean, 300 by 300, that's nine times bigger than Milky Way currently.
Well, currently there is only 14 people in there, but there is space for, there's 982 open spots, so there's tons of space to go. It ends in 99 years, so you have tons of time to join. Right now, Hala is running away with the round. He's got me beat by about 300K net worth, and I'm not really sure how I'm going to catch him. But it's interesting. Oh, he got Pickle in his family. That's why he's so much bigger than me. So it's Hala and Pickle.
Oh, yeah. I think those two have won one of the smaller hardcore rounds before.
So the thought with this is it's kind of a training galaxy to where I don't know what the limits are, but you cannot attack or op until you get past a certain size, or if you do it yourself. So it kind of...
Okay. A little like Virgo?
Yes.
Cool. This reminds me of, there was that other idea to have an economy-only round, like a race round. Do you remember seeing that? It was about a week ago.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've brought that up before, too, because I know some people like to just do economy. And I think it'd be interesting. It'd also be probably a fairly short round, because I feel like you could tell, you know, 3 weeks in, once expo phase is over, who wins, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another fun thing to do on accelerated ticks. If you were to play, like, a one-day, one-minute round, that would be pretty interesting. But I would be very interested in jumping in on that round. I might wait a decade to jump into Infinitum, but we will see.
You might be pretty far behind at that point. We'll see, though.
Yeah, I might. I've never really been one for playing more than one galaxy at a time. I barely have time for one.
Well, I can log in once a day and just build crap and build my 8 expos and send them, and I'm good to go. So I'm not doing too much here. But so getting back to, we'll go with our last topic for now. So, you know, this Milky Way round, people have talked about, it's the closest it's been in a while. And since I've joined the game, you know, every round that I've been in, there's either been one top family or maybe two, and they're duking it out. But, like, there's still five, six, maybe even seven families that have a shot at, maybe it's just a net worth win, and it's net worth or planet size matters. That's a different argument. But even families, probably four or five families that have a shot at a planet size win, let alone a net worth win. So, I mean, what's your take on this Milky Way round so far and where we're at?
This Milky Way round definitely reminds me by far the most of old IC. I definitely agree. As Dark says, size is the only win. I think Pi is the only person who thinks that net worth is worth anything. You are trying to get the most planets. It definitely looks like a three, maybe four horse race right now. There's been a couple of big changes from the last time that we had radio. So the biggest changes are 6362, Death and Soul. Coming out of nowhere, although they have a ton of planets, because I heard that they picked up most of 70s planets after they deleted. And right now it really looks like they are getting a lot of planets, or they were getting a lot of planets from World of Warcraft family earlier. I don't know what happened there. I would be interested in hearing an explanation either here or in private, but that was very interesting because, I mean, 62 has, what, they're down two players, or two players, or, oh, Oscar the Grouch is in there. Okay, so they're one player short, but they don't have as much eco, but yeah, it looks like they caught them right in the middle of a research build. But to be fair, the Horde did come at us in internet browsers during a research build, and we were able to fight it off well enough. So yeah, I would say that's the biggest surprise. And then what do we have? Internet browsers has dropped down a couple spots in size. The top three definitely seem very close. We have Turtles right outside of the top three. They've been fighting a lot. Again, that is, I think they have a very high net worth. Yeah, they are just out of first in net worth. So lots of fleet, they're fighting a lot. Those middle families are all pretty much where they were before. 70 has, the Kingray Swagga fam has dropped a lot. They had that, Zanharum deleted with quite a few planets on them. They've been fighting multiple families and slipping more and more. And then, yeah, those bottom three fams, we said in first radio that they were pretenders. They're not contending for anything. That is true. They are. Do you have anything for rankings, PVC update type of stuff, or do you want to go more into talking about the feel of this round?
No, I haven't really done much more of a PVC because it's really been so even. You know, we all knew 63 was going to jump up there, and they really have made a really good comeback. They're currently in the lead. I agree with you. The big surprise in the round is 62. I really don't know who's in that family. I didn't get any information about them. We knew 68 was going to have a good round. 70 has dropped a lot of planets. And like you said, they had a player delete. And I think that you're going to start seeing them drop down because they cannot support that fleet that they have. So they're probably going to drop down to probably about 7th or 8th, I'd say, when it all comes said and done. Have no chance to win from a planet size standpoint. 69, Horde is out, unless they can make a big move on maybe 63 or 62 and maybe try to get some of that back. You never know. I really think at this point it's probably a 3, maybe a 4-horse race. And I don't even know if it's a 3 race. I don't know who's in 62. I don't know if they can really do it. Do you know anything about this family at all?
Yeah, it's Sol Invictus and Icy Death. So, I mean, they have plenty of chances to fight, to put up huge fights till the end. They'll probably... Oh, Donald isn't there anymore, supposedly. Okay, so, I mean, that changes things a little bit because, yeah, I definitely don't think their economy is up to snuff with the rest of the top families. Okay, Pitbull. I definitely trust Pitbull more than Hydro on telling me where Donald is playing. Okay, but if it's Donald and Sol Invictus, they're definitely going to stay up at the top. It will be difficult to take planets off of that, family, even if they're going to be at lower fleets. And more of an economy disadvantage as this drags on. Munder coming out of the closet. Okay.
That's where Munder was hiding. I was about to say he was still the one that was in hiding. I don't know where he was.
I was thinking that Munder might have been in there, but I definitely wasn't sure. Okay, so yeah, they have plenty. They've got plenty of firepower. We will see if they keep gaining planets at this rate, they'll be there for sure. As Dark said earlier, he wants a shout out. We didn't mention his family. 6363. Yep, they are first in size and net worth. They're going to be hanging till the end. They're having a great round. So that's just for you, Dark.
Yeah, I think 63, like I said, and I did call you out, Dark. I said how much of a great jump you made. So, you know, it's been a really interesting round. And I think since I've been playing, this is the first round where, you know, We've got pretty much 2 weeks left, and you still have a good, like I said, 3 to 4 families that could win this round, and it has not been like that in a while. What do you think caused that this round? Do you think it's just a bunch of people came back, it's just the way the round fell out, or is it changes, or what do you think is making it different this time around?
I 100% think it's because there's actually parity in the families. The skill seems to be pretty spread out, and no family is at some giant disadvantage from having only half as many members as any other. I definitely think this is perfect or near perfect map setup. Also, exploration phase took just the right amount of time. There's just enough space between families to where you don't feel cramped. You don't feel super far apart. It's a great setup, but a lot of this definitely comes down to the fact of it's not just one or two families at the top, and if you start fighting, the other family's going to outgrow you and then be able to beat you. There are multiple threats. There's threats everywhere, and I think that's definitely done very good for this round to see that there's threats on all sides and families competing everywhere. And we can actually have, there's enough families to where we had a, there's a cross map war going on right now. But yeah, I definitely think it's just because there's so many families that are so close to even right now. That is making things feel fun and interesting.
All right, I'm going to call you out. Who are you going to say who's going to win this round?
I'm going to say Pitbull, Dark Airwing. I think they'll hold on to win as things are going right now. How about you?
I am a egotist, so I'm going to say that we're going to pull it out somehow in the end. We're going to take down Dark and them, but we'll see what happens. Like I said, I think it's there's 3, maybe 4 that are right there, but I think we'll get there. I think we had a little bit of setbacks, but I think we'll be back at the top when it comes to the end.
Yeah, we'll see. That's a bold move, calling yourself to win. It's all. I mean, we're gonna jump you the biggest. You're gonna get 10 million fighters. It'll be all on you. So we'll see if you can back up your words. A lot of people are throwing Pickles family in with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I definitely think they're in it, but I'm surprised that so many people think that they're going to jump the 200 planets that's needed, especially over 3 decently strong families.
Ooh, Hydro says we're going to finish 4th.
I don't know about that. We'll see. But yeah, as Travis is pointing out, it seems like there's already some farming going on. I've seen a lot of those bottom 2-3 fams show up in the news ticker. You sort of hate to see it, but someone could pick up quite a few planets by just continually farming them.
Well, I asked chat for some questions for me and you before we finished up. We've been going for about 52 minutes now. So we'll see if anybody's got anything, and we'll get wrapped up here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, sounds good to me. This was a good one. But yeah, Dark saying, not every family of planets will have any at the end. I generally don't like stopping people from playing the game because there aren't other options for you to jump in, and I don't see any harm leaving a family with 300 planets or something. But hey, some people are in it to win, and just because I do it doesn't mean they can't do it.
Well, I think with that, we will go ahead and call it an end to this episode. No one's really asking any questions, so Tommy, thank you for joining me as always. It's been a great pleasure talking to you and going over the round and getting the chat involved. Has been really active tonight.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for taking the time to do this again. Next time we gotta do it earlier to get more Europeans in. We might not be able to get random in. Might be nighttime in Australia, but yeah, this was fun. Thanks to everyone for joining.
Yep, I'm going to be sending this episode off to AudioDef in just a couple minutes, and then we will get this posted on the forums for everyone else to listen to, and we'll try to do a different time so some of our Euro friends and some of our Kiwi friends might be able to listen in as well. So until next time, thank you for listening to the Imperial Conflict Podcast.